Everybody, welcome to the Spocast. My name is Phil Stamper. So glad that you're here with all of us. And speaking of all of us, let's go ahead and bring in the crew. Delco, sir.
How are you, Mr. Phil?
I am good. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's the day before my birthday, and I'm actually getting excited. My son wants to take me out for what he says, an extravagant activity. I don't know what he means, but I can only take it from the point of view of an 8-year-old.
Okay, fair. And introducing next.
What's up, brother? I love that Chris Bristow already got his birthday plug in the first 2 minutes. Shameless and disgusting. I love it.
See, I completely also blew by the fact. Now, these, I have prescription lenses. The tint
these
is
are prescription too.
I am looking at you, and you have sunglasses. Those are not prescription, but you
these
are inside, sir. You are inside.
No, these are prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Phil, the back seats will be here in a little bit. We also have a very special guest who will be joining us from halfway around the world, literally. But without further ado, I think we have our new co-host for season 3. He's been gone for over 2 weeks, which feels like a friggin' eternity. I need my time. I need my Donnie B time. What's
yes.
up, brother?
Hey, hello, Donnie. Gentlemen. Hello to all of you out there. It was a long 2 weeks, but fatherhood calls and summertime duties call, and with a mix of concerts and field hockey. The big thing was my daughters play field hockey. So I wanted to be there for that and some concerts that we were committed to helping out as we're volunteers for our daughter's cheerleading. So we had to work some concerts at PNC and nice. Just summer gets you, man. And this is what I tell all the dads out there. Take every moment that you can in the summertime, because realistically, you only get about 18 of them. That's it. And then the kids go off to school, and it's just different when they get older, man. You're no longer the cool parent they don't want to hang out with.
I'm experiencing the pendulum on that, because my older two, they're 22 and 18, and one's going to college, one has a full-time job. So like being, you know, getting time with them is very few and far between, whereas my younger two, they're wanting me to do RKOs in the pool with them. So
you know. I'm heading to where you've already been, man. Mine are 15 and 12, so I'm sensing that now. And that's another reason my wife and I are so active with the kids. And maybe we'll take Phil on vacation with us one time.
Oh, there you go. But I was going to say, you know, first Mr. Bristow hit up his birthday. Well, now Donnie B's talking about how great of a dad he is. So I just want to say they both already have put themselves over today.
Hey, how you don't put yourself over. No one else will. But we didn't plug our Amazon wish lists.
Oh. Not yet.
Next time.
But it is the Spocast, self put over. So if we're not putting ourselves over, who the hell is? That's literally the point of this, is so we can put ourselves over so no one else.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
It's not.
What did Simon Gotch say a few weeks? Remember when we had Simon Gotch on here? He said he should have spent more time building advocates when he was in the WWE. Remember that?
That's right.
What you have to do in life, man. Build advocates. Get your voice out there so it's heard. You could be the loudest guy in the room, but if nobody can hear you, it don't mean shit.
Yeah.
But I did miss you guys for the last couple weeks. I'd listened to the show. I thought they were great. Had a lot of fun listening to it. Ours is an easy show. And when Johnny and I and Phil, we all kind of talked about this in the backseats, just trying to retool it a little bit. So it's not consumer friendly, but I just thought we could go into a little bit different direction. There's so many podcasts out there and you know who they are, that just constantly bitch and moan and complain and point out all the negative shit that's wrong with either of the companies or just wrestling in general. And I'm not saying we're not going to point out some obvious stuff, but I want to be the podcast and the show that, instead of complaining about the 100 reasons why something doesn't work, I want to concentrate on the one reason that it does work. You know what I mean? I want to be that light at the end of the tunnel. Of course, we're going to have fun with our debauchery and our insanity and our 15 minutes of fame and all that shit. We'll call it out. But I don't want to be an hour straight of just bash, 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 and negative, negative. There's other stuff. If you guys want to go listen to that other stuff, cool, go do it. But I want us to bring a little bit of light and happiness and focus on people who otherwise you don't really hear too much about, or I want to bring some guests from the past in and just focus. There he is, Tommy Grayson.
What up?
And just focus on the good stuff in professional wrestling. There's a lot of it, man. I want to talk about more of the current stuff and the current trends and more of the business aspect I think is interesting. And that's it, man. I want to talk about all that stuff. But I want to hear how the last 2 weeks were for all you guys personally. I want to hear about the Juggalo stuff, man.
It was definitely an insane time, as they say. You know, the three-town beatdown was very successful. The Backseat Boys went 3-0 and, you know, ticked off quite a bit of bucket list items, you know, talking about wrestling and debuting in, you know, the state of Kentucky and Indiana, and of course wrestling in none other than Pontiac, Michigan, which Donnie B, I know you know what happened in Pontiac, Michigan.
Sure do.
And
I'm the giant.
That's right. And we were also told on the bus with Violent J himself that he actually caught WrestleMania 3 live and in attendance, and was, you know, basically one of the many or the 90,000 spectators that were there to see Hogan slam Andre.
Very cool.
Awesome, bro. I didn't know
I watched it. I watched it on pay-per-view. It was my first ever pay-per-view as a kid, and I watched it.
We watched it at my mom and dad's house. We had our neighbors over. I can still remember it, where I was sitting, who was in the house. We ordered Domino's pizza, like all that, man. I remember it all, bro. I remember
the VHS box set that had 1, 2, and 3. And I played the tape so much that it wore out.
That's awesome.
Yep. So, Tommy, I know you're a little late because we were rendering the TV. So at 8 o'clock tonight, are we good? The episode 3 will be up?
Yes, sir. Episode 3 of Trip TV, brought to you by Spo Wrestling and the Backseat Boys and, you know, all brilliant minds alike, will be debuting on our YouTube channel. That is SpoWrestling.com/YouTube. The Spo Wrestling YouTube page and SpoWrestling.com. We got a lot of interesting things that are happening on this episode. You know, I told you before we went on air, Johnny, you know, Trip TV, I'm likening to a lot of different projects, but for my horror movie fans out there, Friday the 13th, part 3, that's where you see the debut of the infamous hockey mask. That's when, you know, the Jason Voorhees character forms into what he is most recognizable, you know, to this day. I think people are going to look back on Trip TV episode 3 and they're going to say, okay, you know, maybe 1 and 2 were, you know, they were all right. They were all right. But episode 3 now is going to be must see TV.
Wow. And I hear it's Tiger Week tonight.
That's right. That's right. The long awaited settlement of the rivalry between Charlie Tiger and Griffin McCoy. Young, dumb, and broke. The worlds are colliding. The mega powers are no longer bonded. And it's, some would say this is like a zoo match, literally.
It is, yeah, definitely. It's not a match that's all about camaraderie and brotherhood. It's a match that's more about fighting and taking names.
That's right. You know, Griffin humiliated Charlie. He locked him up in a cage and brought him out to the ring, and fans basically tarred and feathered him, but they actually threw circus peanuts and Assad's chicken at him. So,
were the peanuts salted or unsalted?
No one knows. But Assad's hot chicken, that new chicken place that opened across the street from the firehouse, was delicious, everybody. Got to tell you.
Yeah, well, sweet. Charlie Tiger didn't exactly think so, and Griffin McCoy caught the W in that match. So, you know, you're going to have to stay tuned for Trip TV Episode 3 tonight and see what the aftermath of the Tiger Cage match was. And that's not all. There's a lot of other, you know, cool flavor debuting this time around on the Trip TV.
Anyway, so, I started blasting. Bah, bah.
So at 8 o'clock, go over to Spo Wrestling YouTube and check out the live premiere. Don't want to miss that. So thank you, brother Tommy. Thank you for that. Donnie, I got to show this, brother, because I love it.
That is so cool, man.
We went from Mount Rushmore to Judge Donnie B with the silver gavel in his left hand, the AirPods in his right hand. He's got the gimmicks, ear things around his neck. And Donnie, if you look down between your legs, there's what looks like the butt of a pool cue sticking down there. I don't know what that is, brother. AI did that. I did not do that.
That's my very first gimmick in the business was, here it is, a little trivia for everybody, was actually Donnie B. Deviously.
Oh, okay?
When I started at Iron Mike Sharps, I was a big Paul E. guy. So I adopted the persona Donnie B. Deviously. And I had that, and my whole gimmick was I was going to be the leader of the stock exchange. He had the Dangerous Alliance. I had the stock exchange. My philosophy was to buy wrestlers when they were low and build them up and sell them high. Okay. So my whole persona, for some reason, I was a pool shark too. So I came to the ring with a pool cue because everybody had a gimmick. Paul had the phone. Jimmy had the racket. So I was going to use a pool stick. The only thing I really didn't take into account was how to make it safe to hit somebody with it. Right. So, funny story. One of the very first times right out of the shoot, I was on a show for Tommy Fierro promoted it, and I was deemed going to be the manager of one Abdullah the Butcher that night.
Oh,
against
wow.
Nails. Yeah, against Nails. So imagine my surprise when I get there, and Abby says to me, he's asking me my gimmick and this and that, and I tell him, and I show him the pool stick, and he says, if I go to use that and it doesn't work, I'm going to stab you with it. So now, oh, yeah. Now I'm shitting a brick. Total shoot. I'm shitting a brick in the back. Now I got to find something so I can serrate and make some cuts into the stick so it definitely breaks. The only thing I could find in the locker room was a used butter knife. I retreat to the corners of the shower area, and I'm sawing away on this pool stick with a serrated butter knife. To the point where I'm like, oh, this is definitely going to work. So here comes the match. They're all over the place fighting. Abby reaches back to take the pool stick from me. He rears it over his head to swing it, and it breaks before he swings it. But he can't see it, so he just brings it down and clubs Nails with it, and it goes flying. So he thought it worked. Dude, you could see my soul leave my body because all I was thinking was, I'm dead. And afterwards, we went in the back, and it was fine. But at the moment, dude, I literally thought that was the end of me. Like, I'll never forget that. That was just craziness, man. That was my Abby story. Yeah. And he asked me if he wanted to gig me. He said, "Brother, do you want? Hey, brother, do you want me to get your color? No, no, I'm good. No thanks. I don't fall for that shit."
Like you weren't hopping with joy to, you know, have his razor blade, Abby, you know, don your forehead.
Yeah, Abby, no problem, bro. Take a handful of razor blades and you can gash my head open. That's cool.
What's
like
the
everyone's like everyone's just lining up to get gigged by Abby like it's some sort of rite of passage. Time's right, that's when he calls matches. That's what he says. When the time's right, I'll hit you in the head with the thing. When the time's right, I'll do this. Whatever. I still remember when he couldn't get underneath the bottom rope because his ass was so big. To me, that's Abdullah the Butcher.
But that was my first gimmick, and I abandoned it only because, you know, conceited me. We went to a few shows and I got tired of spelling the name deviously on autographs. I felt it was too long. So after about a year, I ditched it and I was just Donnie B. And then I became Big 80s. That's a story for
so me. What if a guy threw a shoe at me?
So you were Donnie B. in Big 80s.
Yeah, man.
That's when I met you, when you were already Donnie. You used to wear the Superman shirt and you'd come out with Bobcat as a managerial team. When I first met you, do you remember that?
I was kind of in between looks. I was still big 80s came because I was right after Donnie B. Deviously. I was watching TV late one night or something, and there was an infomercial for a CD set, and it was called The Big 80s. And the commercial would come on and be like, "And if you love ballads and this and that, you'll remember the Big 80s." And I was like, "That's a cool name," and it just stuck with me. And then literally one day, I just, "Hey, that'd be cool, Big 80s Donnie B." Because I mean, that's me. I was born in 1972. I was in the 80s from 8 to 18. Like, you can't get more 80s than fucking being 8 to 18 when you grow up. So it just stuck. And I'm kind of surprised that no one to this day has done it mainstream, like full-on 80s gimmick. The closest two I could think of that are trying it are those Outrunner guys from AEW. Kind of like a retro thing. I love them.
I'm a big fan of them right now, actually. I've seen
online. Versus them. Yep. You guys is either one. You guys versus them.
I would love it.
I could see it. I could see it a mile away, dude. Midnights and rock and roll right there. It could happen.
Well, speaking of getting back to you know, you were asking about JCW and stuff. We actually got to wrestle the Southern Six from NWA, Kerry Morton, Silas Mason, and Alex Taylor. So, you know, talk about Midnights and Rock and Roll. You know, there are so many good tag teams out there that, you know, whether it's tag or trios that, you know, I would totally want to mix it up with. But, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned them because, you know, I'm big fans of the Outrunners.
Was Ricky there? Was he on the shows?
Ricky was not there. You know, I know he has worked for them in the past. I know he and Robert were actually on their first ever show that they put on.
Oh, no shit. I just think it's so cool that you guys were part of you're part of this whole Juggalo Championship Wrestling Tour. Like, I don't think people realize how big it is. When you really look at the numbers and the shows and the magnitude of it and the talent, it's a big deal, bro. As far as an indie wrestler goes in the United States, to be part of this tour is a big deal. So I'm so happy to see you guys part of it. I was following the results. I was trying to catch the results in this and that, and I think it's awesome.
Thanks, brother. We have real quick, guys. I want to show you something. So a friend sent me this. So look at this. So two Juggalos are going to be getting married at the gathering.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be able to stop by and see it. So stop by the Ship of Fools stage to witness these two wicked Juggalos tie the knot. Should be fun. That's
awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. The Silver Boys of Clockwork E will be performing. Who are the Silver Boys?
You know, I've seen some stuff online from Humble Among, and if I'm not mistaken, they're two guys, and they do like a full-on like Tin Man, you know, like chrome paint gimmick, like literally like body paint. So
we're gonna let them live, in other words.
Oh, not only are we gonna let them live, like we need to take like a 5-man, you know, like Silver Down, like picture at some point.
Yeah, we sure do. Well, look at this, guys. I don't know if you can make this out. This is the gathering. This is like the Woodstock. So notice the red to the right, the two red blocks. Do you see those? That's the wrestling.
Lunacy? Oh,
that's the wrestling. 1 a.m. till 3 a.m. Donnie, are you going to be staying up for results?
Most likely, no.
Are you going to turn your fan on before you go to bed? And the last thing think about is us at JCW.
My little private fan that I have,
and the camaraderie and brotherhood that we're experiencing.
Yeah. Ding.
That was
what does
two,
that
not
bottom
one
say? Bloody Mania.
Yes,
Bloody Mania. Yeah.
That's the name of the show. That's this.
Wow.
Look at me. I'm right up there, like between the clowns. Like, I could not have gotten better real estate on this poster if I made it myself.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, regardless of your taste in music, the Insane Clown Posse is one of the biggest acts in entertainment to come along in the last, 30 years? 25 at least? I remember, dude. And for you, look at that poster, man. Especially you, Tommy. For you to be on that poster, like, no one can ever take that away. Any of these fucking jerk-offs out there, and I say that with all enthusiasm, who are jealous or hating on you guys for anything, fuck them, bro. You're on that poster. You're on the tour. Any of those people would give a part of their body to be on that. Yeah, Max would to be on that show, man. I'm just so – and I was thinking, man, if Trent was here, bro, he would be loving every second of this.
Well, you know Johnny represents the Trent Acid Skywalker Silver Championship, you know, at JCW, and Violent J himself speaks highly of Trent to this day and says, you know, Juggalos, you know, for those of you who weren't around, you know, holy Trent Acid was a former JCW World Heavyweight Champion. He, you know, performed for the Juggalos, you know, for years and years, etc. His last match was at JCW. So, you know, it's cool to be able to take the history and carry it on and have, you know, like pick up where Trent and Johnny left off.
Yeah, I just think it's so cool. Phil, are you a Juggalo?
Yes.
I thought so.
I mean, I've always loved Insane Clown Posse.
Of course.
Which throws people off because they're like, you, Phil? I'm like, yeah. Because like you said, like they're a fixture in entertainment. Like you can't avoid them. They're there everywhere. They were a huge part of wrestling. And so it was like, well, why wouldn't I be a fan of what they're doing?
I liken them to Kiss is one of the biggest bands of all time, but the makeup and the presentation, the entertainment always overshadowed the actual music itself. And I've seen Kiss a million times, but I think Juggalos, those guys are right up there, man. It was genius to do the makeup and do all that shit. Those guys can do this shit until they're 75 years old. Yeah. And then they could have two people take their place or whatever and just market it out. There's geniuses, man. That graphic you just showed with all that entertainment, that shit ain't easy to book, man. That's like fucking 3-4 days of entertainment and just jam-packed. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool. Look at that, bro. What this 14, 15, 16, 17. That's 4 days, man. Mm-hmm. That is cool. And where is this at? I didn't see that.
This is in Thornville, Ohio. And believe it or not, Donnie, there's actually an event that we are going to be taking part in on the Tuesday prior. And it's called the Road to the Gathering. And it's a free JCW event that is being held just outside the gathering. It's at a separate bar and venue, maybe like 10 minutes away. And literally all the guys, like Violent J himself is going to be there. All of us are going to be there. And it's a free event for people who are driving in, who are trekking across the country, across the world.
Wow.
And it's their way of giving back and saying, hey guys, we know tickets are not cheap. You know, things are, the conditions are maybe not practical for some, but here, just on behalf of us and on behalf of what, you know, we can do, let's go out and give everyone just a little, you know, extra little something free on us. I think that's, you know,
that is so cool, man. That's customer service.
Yeah,
that's how
yeah.
you remain around and remain relevant for 30 years or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? But that's cool shit. So you guys are going to be on the road, like living it, bro, like actually doing it for what, 6-7 days in a row. Is it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, nice. It doesn't stop, you know. Doesn't stop.
You know something, Donnie, at the event we were at, Violent J got on the microphone and just for the hell of it, bought every person in the building 3 free drinks.
Really?
And I was doing the math. I mean, we're talking thousands of dollars he spent. Just so talk about customer service. Like that's what they're all about, bro. They're all about that the customer service. They really are. It's a neat feeling to be on tour with them.
Do they come to the tri-state area ever? Like, does it come around here, like Jersey, New York, or anything? Or
so typically not, just because New York has never really been a hot bed for them, but and this was just announced, Juggalo Weekend, which is an annual thing that happens usually in February, Valentine's Day weekend, was just announced, if I'm not mistaken, just a day ago, for Worcester, Massachusetts at the Palladium, which is a very popular venue both for wrestling and concerts. Mm-hmm. They themselves have performed there, and you know, my brother and I actually were at the first ever wrestling open events that took place. That's at the Palladium. Awesome, bro. So, you know, it's to answer your question, they're making their rounds. They have, but it's not, you know, because they're based out of the Midwest, it's, you know, they hit the immediate Midwest towns.
I get that. No, that's cool, man. I'm psyched for you guys. Make sure you document all of it.
I am.
Like I Kevin am. Nash says at the end, all you got is the money and the miles, bro. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got a quick light side. You guys want to see a quick light side of the ring?
Let's do it up, man.
All right, so this is a funny light side. So when I was younger, I was best friends with Max Smack. He's no longer with us. He's passed away. But he was funny. We used to laugh. We made fun of everything together. We used to watch old ECW when it would come on TV. And we found Raven was doing a match. And after the match, somehow his shirt came off. Do you guys remember this? Oh, anyone remember this picture?
I do.
It feels familiar, but I can't remember. Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. When I was 18... we thought for sure, I mean, we were dead set, 100% accurate, that Raven did not like the way his nipple area looked through his shirt, so he put wrappings around his breasts. That's what we thought. It took me until about age 40 to realize he probably just had his friggin' nipples pierced and didn't want the piercings being ripped out.
Why don't we just ask him?
When I first met Raven, I was shaking his hand and like looking at his nipples. Like, does this guy rap? Like, what's going on?
So, love it.
That's my 15 minutes.
I'll send him that picture and say, hey, what's the deal with this photo?
Donnie, it's got to be that he had pierced nipples. It's got to be. Why else would you do this? What other reason? Can anyone think of another reason? Watch it end up being like breast cancer and I'm a piece of shit.
Well, I can't.
He had a biopsy. He's trying to hold it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Donnie, do you have any? Donnie, do you have any like Raven stories or? Sorry, just saw the.
One of my favorites was the first time. Two. I got two actually. I got a couple. First time I ever met Scotty Levy Raven was we used to run a promotion called New Jack City Wrestling, which was in the early 90s. It was run by Mr. Lucifer, Mike Illions. who had a work name, brother, as a promoter named AJ Sparks, and I was the booker. So their big thing was they used to bring ECW talent in like on Sundays, and we'd go, we'd promote at the Freehold Armory and also in Hazlitt in Aberdeen at the Sports Bubble. So no, I'm not Rat Boy. Chris Gosh, the Rat Boy, just said, Donnie B, am I polishing up my boxing gloves? Nope. Love the answer's no. Johnny's going to fight you. But oh yeah, we got to talk about celebrity boxing. But talk about so Raven. We had him in on some shows, and you got to understand, he started doing the Raven gimmick. But there were, you guys know Lupus, right? Ken Porter. He was in ECW. Ken was doing the Raven gimmick probably a year to 2 years before Raven. He was doing, he was a mosh pit kid. That was his thing with the shirt and the look, the everything. So we're in the back locker room, and Kent's in his whole gimmick. Raven's across the locker room, his whole gimmick. And I swear to God, this is a true story. And this is why Raven fell in love with all of us immediately. This is the first time we all met him that night. Nova, me, Loop, we all met him. He looks at Kent and says, "Hey, kid, nice gimmick. How long you been doing that?" And Kent looks right in his face, not afraid of who he was, and goes, "I've been doing this when you were drinking mint juleps as Johnny Polo." And dude, we just started howling laughing. And he goes, "Ha ha ha! I love it! I love it!" And that was the show he saw. He saw Nova on that show, I think against Ratchet. I think it was Ratchet. So he fell in love with Nova's gimmick. He just thought he was like an Adam West Batman. So he invited him. He said, "Listen, come down." Scotty was a DJ part-time at a dance club called Moon Dancers on Route 73 in Maple Shade or Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah.
Mondays or Tuesdays. And one of the dancers actually there was Kimona Wanalea. Mm-hmm. That's where she was from. Whoa. So he invited us down there. He wanted a Nova's 8x10 and a cheap resume just so he could, and a tape to bring to Paul. So Mike Nova spent like the next couple days. It was genius because there was no Photoshop back then, bro. There was no green screen. There was none of that shit. So Nova was a comic book character. So he came up with the idea of his 8x10 being a comic book cover. So what did he do? He took an 8x6 piece of sheetrock, like a big piece of sheetrock, and he made a life-size comic book cover out of it with tape and stuff that he cut up, and he put Nova on it, and then he stood in front of it, and we took a picture in front of it. So the sheetrock was the comic book cover, and it was him in front of it. We made it in my mom and dad's basement. So when he handed that to Raven, Raven thought it was the coolest thing he'd ever seen, and he told him to come down to the arena, and that's how Nova got hired. And that's how we met Scotty. But he was always a friend after that. I traveled to some shows, and we don't, you know, walk the same path in life, obviously, you know, the debauchery and all that. But he once claimed that I, for some reason, that I was one of the truest heels he's ever met.
Really?
I'm not sure why, but he said, "Yeah, Donnie B, you know, he was a cop and everything, but he's one of the truest heels I've ever met." That's in one of the shoot interviews.
I love
him. And, you know, him and Trent had issues in PW one time. I had to that was weird.
And listen, Scotty's never seen nothing like him. When we were promoting at the Freehold Armory, there were some young women who would show up, like adult women, like, you know, who were absolute bombshells. And they'd be like, "Hi, is Raven here?" And be like, are you a fan or what? "No, he told me to meet him here." And here come, you know, curmudgeon Scotty, from the back, and just walking out with this woman and just leaving. Like, she would pick him up from the show and just disappear. And the next week, who was that? But he's the best, man. I always liked Scotty. Always took care of Nova and Richards and Meany and all them, made sure they got involved, make sure they got the payouts and all that. Like, I will always say that, in my opinion, he is one of the top minds in the business. And I'm not sure if some shit could have went a little different in his personal life, or I'm not getting into any of that. But if in a different universe or parallel multiverse or something, I think Scott Levy is the guy who's in charge of the performance center, or he's on the booking committee, or he's in AEW as head of creative, something like that. Because I just think, you know, he was the Jim Morrison of wrestling, bro. And I just think that he has so much more to offer. I just don't know if he plays well with others in the sandbox. Right. I don't know.
Right. Right.
So I love him.
You said it perfectly. And I as somebody who loves doing voices and impersonations, I adore your Scott Levy impersonation. And I'm sure you know it's because of him that we use the phrase dog and pony show, because that was him and Hack.
Yeah. And the phrase, everybody in pro wrestling is gypsy tramps and thieves. That's where I got that from. I got it from him. And the only time I think I ever called him on his phone and left him a message. I think I left him a message. I might have told him that night. The only time I ever went up to him was like, boss, that was wrong. Was when he had to go out to the ECW arena and apologize when they crucified Hack.
Yeah.
Did that angle. And Paul and Todd made him go out and apologize. I personally believe that the Raven character never 100% recuperated from that, because that footage was out there. I never looked at it the same. It was like, instead of 100% kicking ass, he was like at a 98 or whatever. But I always thought that that was a huge mistake, that if someone was going to go out there, it should have been Paul or Todd. And the reason they did it was because Kurt fucking Angle was there.
Yep. And, you know, the thing is, you know, they were saying to me, you know, like, why wouldn't you put him on the Star of David? Because I was making fun of the Sandman and religious iconography. You don't crucify someone on a Star of David.
Yeah. And the Raven would never come out and say religious iconography. Like, just when he said that, I was just like, this is bad. This is wrong, dude. ECW, like, that was just wrong. That's just my own opinion. I thought it was foolish for him to go out and apologize. If you're the promoter, bro, you go out. Like, Johnny, when the show's whatever, if some shit goes down, you go out and you apologize if you think it's necessary. You never make the talent go out there and show their ass on something like that.
Right. Phil, I need you to go out and apologize on my behalf on the 14th.
I feel that coming.
Thank you.
That surprisingly checks out.
Yeah. I feel like I did something like that probably at PW.
But you guys mentioned Kurt Angle. I have to throw in, they just signed him in celebrity boxing. Did you guys see that?
No.
Yeah. So he's refereeing in the Bahamas on December 13th in Nassau, the match between one of the housewives' husbands, I don't know who it is, and Antonio Sabato Jr. Remember him, Donnie?
Joe Giudice. The guy, he was in jail and he went to Italy. He was deported to Italy. Yeah, Joe Giudice. That was the lady Teresa from The Housewives. My wife watches
all Yeah, the guy.
That's who it is. Yeah, the guy. I don't think he's allowed in the U.S. I think he was deported to Italy.
That's why he's got to do it in Nassau.
Which is kind of sad, man, because I think he has 3 or 4 daughters. So he hasn't been part of his fucking daughter's life in like 10 years. I don't even know, like maybe on the phone or whatever. But as a dad of 2 daughters, there's no reality. You see, if they never got involved in that reality bullshit, then that would have never happened. They would have just continued on and no one would have been the wiser.
But they were asking for that spotlight to microscope.
Yes, she was. And then he got swept up in a 2, and then they shone the light on their finances. And when you're putting yourself over on reality TV with mansions and cars and money, someone's going to come sniffing. And that's what happened to all those people, bro. Uh-huh. That's what happened to every one of them. And good old Juicy Joe got found guilty. He went to the clink, and then he was fucking deported to Italy. He lost everything.
That sucks. Well, he's going to be in Nassau. So on the 18th of this month, there's a press conference at Harrah's Casino. We'll be at the gathering, so we won't be there. I will possibly be sending my brother Robbie to be there, although he'll probably curse up a storm and get us kicked out of the venue. But real quick, Donnie, I don't know if you saw this weekend, we had the ECWA show down in Delaware, and they drew really well. Here's Craig Z List on the right, one of our guys, actually. And who's that there with the tie and the black hat? Do you recognize him, Donnie B?
That would be Mr. Jim Kattner, brother.
Bada bing. There he is. Some brotherhood and camaraderie.
Phil, do you know Jim Kattner?
I was about to say, I didn't even recognize him. That's insane.
Yeah. We could spend hours on Jim. Just quick thoughts. I'm glad they did the show for him. Jim deserves other recognition than that. Jim and I weren't the best of friends. We weren't enemies. We just didn't hang out. We had different philosophies on the business. We actually, in fact, only did one show ever for Jim in Delaware. It was Nova versus Ratchet, I think an opener or something. And Jim was very big on scripting, and he literally had scripts. It would say like heel points to smarts, like babyface blows kiss, whatever it was. But and no disrespect, but that just wasn't
heel like, points to really smarts. I forgot
heel
about
points
that.
To smarts. Yeah,
it's when you clothesline.
Yeah, but I get it because a lot of his guys were homegrown from there and they needed that. So we had a successful formula.
But
so
that meticulous that direction.
Yeah, we did it, and I don't mind some cues and some and being produced, but like it just wasn't for us. It was cool, but we didn't really want to go back. And not that he was clamoring for us, but no heat on Jim. I always liked Jim. I got along with him. No heat at all. I know Dennis liked him. It is one of the mysteries, though. I would love to find out how the hell he never got hired by WWF, because I'm telling you, his dream was to be, I don't know if he'll admit it, or I think he would, but his dream was to be in WWF, and I can't figure out for the life of me how they couldn't find a spot for him. He was dedicated. He was hardworking. He produced results. That goddamn shit he ran in Delaware was sold out every month for years, for decades.
With a Tron in the 90s.
Little Monday Night Raw deal, and he made his own stars. I'm not knocking them, but they were just like nobodies. They were just not, you know what I mean? They were just guys from like the area.
Yeah.
Backseat Boys. Cheetah, we were his tag champs.
Boogie Woogie Brown, Mr. Ooh La La. These guys were, to say they were, bro, Boogie and Cheetah. Cheetah was one of the most over workers I've ever seen on a show anywhere.
Yeah,
I think he tried to branch out a little bit, but in the end, I think Mike Cheetah was cool with just staying in Delaware, and that's fine. But I often wonder if he would have been in our group or like traveled with us a little more, or maybe pursued him. I have no idea what his like actual real life was and all. But when I saw they were doing this, I messaged him separately, and I always told him it was a pleasure to be working with him on shows. Right. And we had him on some shows with Dennis, and he was great, man. Cheetah just was a natural baby face, and so was Boogie Woogie Brown and all those guys, Glenn Osborne, Blue Thunder, so many more, man. The Chicago Hitman, the Master. I love the Master. All those guys were cool. I just would have liked to seen a guy like Jim Kentner, even if he was there for fucking 6 weeks or something, dude, get a shot with WWF. You can't tell me in a company with 300, 400, 500 people, whoever worked there, that there wasn't a spot for that guy.
You have to say that too, like, just like the NFL, if we want to make that kind of comparison, how many high school football players are, how many spots are there in college, how many spots are there in NFL? It's the same in wrestling as you go through. Like, there's only so many spots and so many people. So it isn't necessarily that Jim didn't have what the WWE needed. WWE might have already had two people who could do similar to what he could do.
I often thought of that too, Phil. You bring up a great point. I often wonder if Jim was too good and he didn't have an advocate. And maybe somebody's like, well, I'm not going to push for him because they're going to push me out. Like, that's the only thing I could figure. Because I know he was, like, Cornette liked him. And I know his name came up at the office a few times. And I just, wish
he would have. Outpricing yourself due to your skill level?
Let's pause for some station identification real quick, guys. You're on the third season, episode one right now of the Spocast. We are back. Thanks for joining us. Here is a album cover, a comic book cover made by I Hate Artists of Justice Payne. Check this out. This just got finished last week. Justice Payne was my tag partner in Uneffin' Believable. Great guy, man. Miss him to death. The late, great Justice Payne. But before we start reviewing SummerSlam real quick, because I do want to talk about that, we have a special guest here from halfway around the world, everybody. Delco, don't care if you have anything lined up sound-wise, now's the time to use it. Let's get him in here, you guys. Boofa! Ayo!
Pork chop sandwiches!
Boof!
Ayo!
Yo! How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on, Boofa? Good to see you, man.
What's going on, Boofa?
Great to see you guys, man.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in the thugged out streets of Glasgow, Scotland.
Wow.
Yes.
What?
Yes, sir.
Glasgow, Scotland.
Yes.
And it's only what, 2:30 in the morning there, or 1:30?
12:30.
Okay.
Well, yes, sir. Good job, Phil. So, Boofa, is it true? Do you have no underwear on under your kilt? Is that true?
Oof.
Uh-oh.
Johnny, that kind of
I mean, you no harm.
Everyone's saying what's up to you, Boofa, in the chat. They're all saying what's up. Boofa, hey, brother, man, tell us what you got going on, bro. You got a lot. Me and you had a nice talk the other day, brother. Fill some people in on what you've been doing.
Man, I don't know where to start, man. Goddamn. Oh, I've been working like a dog since I came back to the States. I told myself when I got back to the States, I was going to go on a full one-year world tour. And that's what I'm doing. I'm in the middle of my summer Euro tour. I finished November.
Oh.
Then it's back to China, then back to the States in October for about 6 months or maybe even longer, because I have a few things being worked out right now that will be reviewed at the right time. But I Johnny like knows.
Let me zoom in here for a second. What do I see on your left arm there? Is that a vein? You got a vein on your left shoulder?
Bro.
Yo, you've been working out?
Yo. Yeah. Yo, Shredded Bufa is coming back. He's already back. Like, once I get back to the States, it's a wrap.
I mean, yes, look at you, bro.
It's a few veins.
You look great. I see a cut. There's a cut down your... Look at your cut down your chest, too, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, dude. Fuck yeah. You are taking shit seriously. Dude, when you said you were inspired, I didn't believe you. But you are, bro. You're inspired just like me, bro.
Like my mama told me, show and prove. That's all I'm doing. That's the dirt.
And Bufa,
inspiration for young and old, because I'm 41 years old. Yeah, I'm going to talk my shit now because I sat back, played the humble card for a reason, just to get overlooked. But nah, I'm showing and proving everything.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Played the humble card for a reason.
Yes.
My God, did you just describe the last 2 years of my life, my friend? But check this out. Bufa, you are the first talent we've announced for November 2nd. Well, actually, it's not true. You're the second talent because Donnie B has said he will be there.
Ah,
okay. I love this.
And you were the first another big active wrestler. Yeah, so Bufa will be making his return to Spo Wrestling at Harrah's Casino. Wow, bro. Like the fireworks are for you, man. This is a big friggin' deal, bro. We've announced nothing about this event. Nothing.
Oh.
Except Bufa.
And Donnie B.
Guys, I'm not going to lie.
Exactly.
We've already
tickets have been sold.
We've already sold tickets. Exactly. So
there you go.
I'll split them.
I'm a draw.
Thank you for the house.
Me and Donnie B or draws. Come on now.
That's it.
All right.
We're so over, we're under.
So everyone, everyone remember to thank Donnie B and Bufa for the house on November 2nd.
That's right. In this pre-show speech, thank us for the house.
Hell yeah. That's hell yeah. Bufa, did you watch SummerSlam at all?
What do you think?
Yes?
Nope.
Oh, all right. I usually don't either, but I actually did. But I want to just say real quick, my favorite part of SummerSlam is absolutely no one else's favorite part. I'm going to tell you what my favorite part of SummerSlam was. There was about a 10.
Oh, you're stupid. I'm stupid.
Oh.
All right.
I thought somebody was in here with me.
My favorite part of SummerSlam was the 10 seconds they showed the skybox with all the old heads in it. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
How bad? Like, where's Todd Pettengill when you need him with a microphone to go in there and just pass it around? They could have spent 20 minutes talking to X-Pac and Kevin Nash and the Steiner brothers, and I would have been friggin' so excited than watching some of those matches we had to watch. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel.
Wow.
Some of the matches were really good. Don't get me wrong. Some of them were really good, obviously. But there was some stuff that I was just like, what the hell am I watching? And then I see those guys, and it's like, you have X-Pac in the friggin' building, and you're not doing anything with him? Why? And it's like they're not even letting him in the locker room. It's like they're saying, guys, yeah, thanks, but Skybox. Skybox.
Right. I'm not going to lie.
Ladies and gentlemen, the opinions of Johnny Cash do not reflect SpoCast.
Or do they? Because
I said some of the matches weren't great? That's just my taste.
Bill Stamper, Delco Don't Care, and Don Bucci do not endorse the views of Johnny Cash.
On this one, I do. Like, no. Every match had some timing issues. All the matches except one had a run-in interference from the outside when the main event was the match that was booked to be the match with the interference. Yeah. Like, this is the top professional wrestling company in the world that has every match agented and every match ended the same except one. The first three of four matches had shoulder damage injury shenanigans.
That's what I was getting at. I'm not shitting on the product or the wrestler. Right. What I'm trying to say is there was at least three top rope suplexes, at least. And there was two or three other things that I counted three or four of in the night. And it's like, well, what's going on? Why is this happening? That's all. But otherwise, it was a great show and the crowd was hot.
To be fair, I think the women's match, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, I think that by far is probably like one of the best openers you're ever going to get at SummerSlam. And just the way the crowd was into it with the false finish and when Dom got in and, you know, threw the chair in and the way the crowd was all into the turn at the end with the kiss. I think that right there was like that. That's how you start a pay-per-view.
That was diabolical.
Yeah. Danger Ginger had a good point. I thought Sammy Braun was going to be longer. I did feel like Sammy versus Braun was more like a TV show match length than a pay-per-view match length, but it was really good.
Yeah.
What do you think of Braun Breaker, Donnie B?
I think Braun Breaker is one of the best talents to come along in the last decade, dude.
Hell yeah.
He's got the perfect mix. He's got that athletic fighter body, which should prevent long-term injury. He knows how to work. He's been coached up as far as the ins and outs of the business since he could walk. He's got advocates, Rick and Scott. He's got friends, Kevin Nash. Every one of those legends, every one of those people there know that man since he could walk, literally since he was born. He'll have the entire company pulling for him. He will be the WWE champion within, I'll say, 2 years. I'll give him 2 years. He'll be holding one of those titles. I wouldn't be surprised if they groom him to take it from Walter.
I can see him taking the IC title in 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
I can see him taking it.
Are they making him the new version of Goldberg?
I don't think so.
Like building into the, like, now he's going to be on this undefeated streak.
So I'm going to flip this just a tiny bit. I think they're taking the best parts of Lesnar and the best parts of Goldberg and meshing them together.
Because they learned from it. Now they have an architect. Now they can do that.
They're doing what they should have done with Big Papa Pump if Big Papa Pump had come along even just a few years earlier. That's the thing. Like when they had Scott as a tag wrestler, he was exactly like how Braun is right now, promising. And then he went and did his, you know, his character stuff in WCW. So by the time Big Papa Pump was in WWE, it became an afterthought. I think they're making up for that now by showing us the rise of Braun with his influences and putting on these bangers and athletic, you know, spectacles with guys like Zayn who are going to go out there and make him look like $1 million.
Yeah. There's an embarrassment of riches right now in the WWE. It's a good problem to have. I mean, there's literally talent, top guys there all over the place. I mean, is there a Rock in Austin? No. But what they've been very smart. What they did was get the entire company over through storyline and just a few key central figures, Roman, Cody, Seth. These guys, man, that's all you need. That pond is stocked, bro, for the next 5 to 10 years, dare I say. When you got Punk there and he's like the third or fourth babyface, I mean, dude, it's crazy.
What did you guys think of Cody's entrance? That was the longest entrance I've ever seen in wrestling. He started in the bus, went out of the bus, then they dressed him in the entrance, then they handed him a dog at some point. There was a reason for that.
That's his dog, Pharaoh. And that was the last time Pharaoh was going to come out on a show. He's retired from the road. He's getting old, so Cody wants to leave him home. I guarantee you that was part of it. That's why that was that long.
But I'm sure.
Yeah,
I will say that felt weird that, like, I mean, in one way it was cool, but at the same time, like, that's so weird that they're like giving this moment to his dog. Like, what's happening? Like, that, not that it took me out of it, but it made me just go like, oh,
dogs, okay. Dogs are over, bro.
Yeah, you know why? Because Cody said, this is what I would like. And of Vince course. Probably would have said no, but with the new guard in there, man. Sure, Cody.
Well, speaking of the new guard, there was product placement on the ring canvas. Did you notice that?
Yes.
I never thought we'd see that. I really
didn't. Me neither.
I think it's genius.
And turnbuckles.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? The WWE logo is still atop all four of the poles.
Yeah.
So you still can't miss it.
No.
So it's pretty genius, I think. But let me ask you guys this, all right? I'm just going to tell you what popped in my mind. And I'm not being negative. I fucking love Cody. Cody's the man, okay? But this is just what popped in my mind, Donnie. So don't say I'm being a bitch. All right. Remember when Rocky and Rocky, whatever it was, five, was like, yo, I can't be training for the fight in a penthouse.
Yeah.
I need to be on the streets starving in order to win this fight. Something about starting out Cody's entrance in a luxury bus, for me, just didn't do it. I'd rather see dude come walking up off the street with his hands taped, acting like he was punching a pole and his hands are bloody, you know?
I could see
whatever.
That.
But it point. Also showed that he had a sponsorship for the vodka, which is friggin' awesome. So
yeah. What will be very interesting is a year or two, whatever it is from now, to see if they turn Cody full blown heel, like Homelander or something. Like
Homelander.
That. I was gonna say that. Yeah. I was gonna say that.
That's I think if they go that route. And it's the roles are reversed, and it's Roman stepping up to knock him off. Like I said, man, you have years worth of programming in front of you. If they go that route, they might not. Cody just might remain the John Cena babyface for his entire run. It's going to be up to him.
Hogan Piper did it. Tell him.
Yeah,
Hogan and Piper switch spots. Mm-hmm. By the way, Bufa, when you're over there, is Roddy Piper like the national face of Scotland? Like, I feel like he's the most popular thing to ever come out of Scotland. No, right?
Not at all. Nope.
Really? Nope. Is it Drew? It's got to be Drew McIntyre, right?
It would be Drew, Grado. Yeah, those two. The main ones, yeah.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. It's crazy, that's interesting.
So yeah. What's the indie scene like in Scotland, Boof?
It's still growing. It's a little toxic, to be honest.
Really?
Yes, because when WWE
right up our alley. Came in,
hey, you know, it's reminding me of New York. I mean, Glasgow reminds me of New York anyways.
Huh.
Just the vibe and the people, but the business as well. And that's because when WWE came in and started the UK brand, they took a lot of the top guys from, you know, Scotland, England. So what was left was the trainees becoming the trainers.
Oh.
Yeah, so... It's a lot so of that,
it depleted you know, the talent.
A lot of eat. Yeah, it's a lot of eat. Like, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of great talent here. But the mentality is a little, you know, a lot of guys have these big egos for no damn reason. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's a lot of that. It's a lot of that going on. Right now.
There's a lot of that on this show right now. Me and you included. Bufa. Bufa, I saw your post on Facebook the other day. Don't tell me you're not in rare form. I love it. Hey. I love seeing it. Dude, I know what's going on. I know right where you're at.
Oh, yeah.
I know right where you're at. It's because we walked away. Or at least because I walked away. That's what it is. And while we were away, while the cats were away, the mice did play.
Of course.
Well,
of course.
Suck. Suck. Cats are back. Oh. Cats are back. And like they say in the movie Doubt, sometimes... It takes a cat.
Oh.
Boom.
And I love Steve cats. Boger.
We're eight minutes away from the debut of episode 3 is going to debut on YouTube in about 7 minutes, everybody. So we're down to the 7-minute countdown here.
Mm-hmm. Everyone go online. Go to SpoWrestling.com. Go to Spo Wrestling on YouTube. Click the link. It is ready to go. You're not going to want to miss this episode at all. I'm telling you right now.
Click like. You're not going to share. Do all the things.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know another thing I noticed in SummerSlam a lot of the guys do?
What's
that? A lot of them can run and jump right up to the top rope now without using their hands.
That's
amazing. Now, a lot of times there needs to be a wrestler sitting up there so you can use his shoulders to perch, but some of them don't even need that. And that's pretty – I always try to do that. What?
That's incredible. I don't have no idea to do that.
They did like three of them did it easily at SummerSlam.
LA Knight does it. Breaker does it. It's incredible, man.
It is incredible. It is incredible. Mm. Yeah.
Real I love quick, them. I have a quick little 15 minute of fame if we could squeeze it in.
Sure. Uh-oh. I just do a 15-minute 5 minutes.
Yes. Over the last 2 weeks, while I was off the show, I did get quite a few people sending me lineups and show lineups and stuff to talk about or just upcoming indies and this and that. And I just couldn't help but just look at some of this shit. And it's more terrible than ever in New Jersey. Other than, like I said, Johnny stuff and the talent at WrestlePro and some of these, maybe one other that I could think of, not offhand, but some of this shit is so bad. And these posters are so bad, and these shows are so bad, and they just keep losing money. And these goofy pieces of shit who supposedly retire, and then they come back. These losers, these idiots who just keep clogging up the system instead of just going away and finding some other way to help out. They have no respect for the history of the indies. Like, they don't know who came before them. I literally was talking to somebody last week, and I mentioned the name Nick Gulas, Tootsmont, and Teeny, as in Teeny Jarrett. And I swear to you, this person had no idea who I was talking about, all three of them. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on? Is none of this being taught? Like, nobody cares? Is this what indie wrestling is, like, for the most part in the tri-state area? Get a bunch of out-of-shape pieces of shit, put them on a show, throw them a few shekels, some free chips, a hot dog maybe or whatever, let them go in and kill themselves, and we'll have 13 people there and we'll call it a success because we're going to sell merchandise and people are going to stream it. I mean, just it's just crazy, dude. So I just want to get that out there. If you're one of these idiots that retired, stay away. It's good Lord. I'm talking about like this, doing a podcast. I'm talking about like actually coming back and getting in the ring, brother, because you got one more run. You never had a fucking run. How can you have another run? How could you come back to something that you were never in or retire from something?
There's has-beens, and then there's never was.
I'm tired of seeing retirement matches from people who never did anything. I'll say it right now. I retire from time travel, and I retire from being an architectural engineer. I retire from the Kennedy Space Center. I'm retiring as a ballet dancer. How's that? I'm retiring from all of those things tonight. I made as much money in all those endeavors as some of these people did in pro wrestling, but yet they keep coming back and they retire. So that's my 15 minute. Bufa, you know what I'm talking about.
Hey, man, I couldn't have said it better any other way. That's why I left it up to you. I'll let you do it.
Thank you, brother. I like that.
I like this alliance between Donnie B and Bufa. I think.
We're the only Donnie. Two that have sold any tickets yet for November 2nd. There you go, yeah.
Donnie. Who am I doing an impression of? Ready? 3 minutes. 3 minutes remain in this match. Who's that?
Is that Gary Michael Capetta?
No, it's Gino Moore, brother.
Oh Christ!
I was thinking
of somebody who was relevant.
Three minutes. I remember wrestling.
He
was a goof.
If I had a dick, this is what I'd tell you to fuck it.
Wow.
Whoa. Hey now.
Hold it now. Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
You know, Bufa, now that he's told us that we're the ones who sold tickets, I think we can do the old Jeff Jarrett and hold him up that night for a little extra money, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, now you put a Jarrett 99 on us, you'll be Jarrett 01 real quick.
And if we don't succumb to your demands, will you walk around the ring so all the fans know you were there before you leave out the building?
No.
The old Ernie Ladd trick. You know how many times I've heard him doing that?
Oh, no thanks, but.
Yeah,
gentlemen. Bufa, any last words before we wrap this up? Because we're going to keep this show to an hour from now on. Yeah,
yummers,
Marks.
Great to see you guys. I can't wait to be back. I'll jump back on next week or whatever.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
talk we about have a what regular. We're going to do in November. Yeah,
a world traveling regular on season 3, bro. You can't beat that.
Definitely start sending us some footage so we could start working it into Trip TV, man. We need that international.
I got you, brother. I got you.
Like, where in the world is Carmine San Diego? We could have where in the world is Bufa IO.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Where in the world is Carmine Sabia? All right.
All right, guys. 57 and 6 seconds left until Trip TV debuts on Spo Wrestling YouTube. Everyone, get your phone out, get your device out, get whatever you watch YouTube on, and log on. Watch it now. Watch the recap. Watch it all.
Check it out, everybody.
At Spo Wrestling.